The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Superman's return. Cam Newton is back at Patriots practice, but is he still the starter, or is it Mac Jones' job to lose? Plus, Dak is back and there's no pitch count. Does that make Dallas legitimate contenders? And the Bears say their offense, well, it's ready to take off, but who should be the pilot? Our experts offer their flight plans and a lot more. As we get up right now, we say happy Friday to you. And thanks for joining us this morning for Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith and Vergrini. And look at this. We got a party in the studio. Graz, Sato are here. RC, Rob Ninkovich joining us in just a second to talk some football and a lot of it. But first, let's get you to the streak of the night. There they go. They're here in the house and we are ready. But got to get you to the streak of the night because the Yankees have been on fire. Can they make it a dozen? Looking for their 12th straight win. Taking on the A's. Top second, scoreless. Giancarlo Stanton crushing the fastball to dead center field. Home run, third time Stanton's homered in three consecutive games as a Yankee. Yankees tack on another two, take a 2-0 lead early. Top third, Joey Gallo, a bomb to right center field. His 30th of the year. Yankees up 6-0, and they are feeling it. Gallo, added member of the Yankees, ninth inning, here we go. Aaron Judge, A's fought back to tie it at six. He's at the plate with a runner on third, and Judge coming through, fighting off a cutter into right field. Yankees back on top, 7-6. Then we take you to the bottom of the ninth. Aroldis Chapman had his struggles this season, going for the save against Matt Olson, gets him to ground out to second, and New York seals the victory, 7-6. It's 12 in a row for the Bombers, and they are peaking at just the right time. And again, 12 in a row is the Yankees' longest win streak since they won 13 straight back in 1961. That team won the World Series. And over the last 100 years, this is the Yankees' ninth win streak of 12-plus games. They reached the World Series in seven of the previous eight seasons, winning it all five times. So we go from baseball to football, and it is one of the biggest storylines in training camp. Cam Newton and Mac Jones remain in competition for the Patriots starting spot. And after a five-day quarantine away from the team, Cam Newton returned to the practice field yesterday. So let's get more from our Patriots reporter, Mike Reese, who was right there at practice. He gets up with us now. Mike, what did you observe during Cam Newton's return to practice?
Ryan, the main observation is that number one is still QB1 for now. And of course, number one being Cam Newton. Everyone wanted to see how Bill Belichick was going to handle this, because if he wanted to turn it over to Mac Jones, this was sort of a clean way to do it. Mac was coming off that nice practice on Wednesday. Cam had missed the prior three practices, but it was Cam in this practice yesterday, the first quarterback through all the drills. He led a touchdown drive, and then interestingly, Ryan, after practice, it looked like Cam was out on the field with all his teammates around him. Maybe he had something to say to them at that time, a reminder of his presence back on the field.
Very interesting. I wonder what he had to say. Now, how did Mac Jones look at practice, and what should we expect to see of Jones this weekend in the preseason finale?
Well, the first thing that Mac told us after practice was that yesterday wasn't as good of a day for him and the offense as it was the day before. I had him 11 of 22 passing. He had an interception, Ryan. He said the Giants' safeties were doing some different things to challenge him. He also had some nice throws mixed in there, and he did work with the first unit at times, which is notable. As for the preseason finale, I don't believe the Patriots have made a determination as to how they'll handle that with Cam and Mac, but I would expect Mac specifically to play in the game.
Okay, it's very interesting that he's still got those first team snaps, maybe an indication that this is not over in terms of who is going to be the starter there. Mike Reese, thank you so much. Great reporting all week on this. Really appreciate it. Let's bring in our guys, Rob, RC, Sacha, Graz. Everybody's here. I love this feeling. Nink, I'll start with you because you were at Patriots practice this week too. What did you learn from watching Mac Jones?
I was impressed. I came away very impressed. And from everything that I've heard coming out of training camp, this camp in general, that Mac has been so impressive at number one, coming in and understanding the offense, just literally coming in, learning the whole offense. And we saw that in two preseason games where he was actually running a no-huddle offense. And as a quarterback, I don't think there's another test out there more challenging than running a two-minute no-huddle offense. It's very hard. You have to get every single person aligned. You have to make sure that everyone understands what's going on. And he was able to do that. So he passed that test. A couple instances with Mac that really impressed me, and it started with 7-on-7. He was throwing a ball that was a little bit low to the flat receiver. And when he did that, he smacked his hands together, hit himself in the head, and you could tell that he was upset with that throw. Later on in that same series, he threw a perfect pass low and away to Hunter Henry on the goal line. And the second that he threw the ball, he didn't do anything except for run straight to Hunter Henry and fix his shoulder pad, fix the jersey. It was all folded up underneath his pad, which as a player, that happens a lot, and it's annoying. You can't get it. So when I see that little stuff, just little things, those are the intangibles that a leader, that a quarterback does. He's always the first one out. You see him run up the stairs, run out to the field. He's warming up for about 45 minutes. And I was listening to the radio. Scott Zolak was talking about, as a quarterback, you really have to warm yourself up. You got to get ready to go. And every single practice, Mac Jones has been the first one out there, and he's warming up for about 40 minutes. He's getting ready to go. Yesterday, the last guy to walk up the stairs was Cam Newton. Didn't pick up a football, didn't do anything, didn't throw one pass before practice, which he said was very, very odd, and he's been doing that all camp. And you know, I just think that Mac Jones, as a rookie, has been very impressive, and he's impressed a lot of people. He impressed me.
Yeah, especially with his professionalism. Now, Sacho, what do you think Belichick should do at starting quarterback?
Yeah, I think that Bill Belichick should start Cam Newton. I think that's what he's been saying all along. I think that Cam Newton has proven that even though Mac Jones looks good and has all the intangibles, Cam Newton has the intangibles as well. He's gone to the Super Bowl. He's a proven winner, a proven champion all the way back from even when he was in college. And so you could tell that Bill Belichick has an affinity towards Cam Newton. They built this team around him. They got guys in the offseason, Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry. They're building their defense around Cam Newton. And so, yes, Mac Jones may have some intangibles now, but I wonder what happens when the lights come on. We know this is preseason. All these stats that people are hearing, 11 for 20 and 35 for 40 in a preseason practice, those lights get a lot brighter when the real games start.
Now, Graz, you have your ear to the ground with the Patriots as well as most of the league. What effect do you think Cam's absence has on this quarterback battle?
Well, I think it's definitely a strong point in favor of Mac Jones. And when you think about why Cam was away from the team this week, it's he's being treated like an unvaccinated player. He hasn't said whether he's vaccinated, but based on the fact that he had to stay away 5 days and what we know about the rules as they pertain to vaccinated versus unvaccinated players, Cam is not vaccinated. What that means is, at any point this season, he could be identified as a close contact and have to stay away from the team for 5 days. Bill Belichick could wake up on a Sunday morning, having practiced with Cam as his starter all week, and find out he's not going to be able to play in the game. That level of, unreliability, and it's not a comment on the player, but my point is, like, you can't be sure you're going to have him. That has to work in the favor of the other guy if it's a close competition. So I think the fact that Cam was away this week plays into this in ways that maybe not everybody wants to talk about, but are going to be a factor in decision-making for the Patriots and other teams all year.
Yeah, and just quick pushback on that, though, because Ryan Tannehill, who people say is vaccinated, he's out for 10 days as well. And so
we don't know that.
Well, Mike Vrabel is a coach who is out for as well. So there are breakthrough cases as well that people need to understand that even though when you're making these decisions, you may say, well, this player is vaccinated or not, but you don't know, especially with COVID, you don't know who's going to be available or not available. And so I think when it comes to Bill Belichick and deciding who's going to be the starting quarterback, people talk about, you know, availability, sure, but it's also dependability. Who will be dependable? And I think that Cam Newton is dependable. It's proven for a decade.
It just shows you how tight this quarterback battle seems. And RC, you talked about this being a good opportunity, but a hard opportunity, this quarterback situation. Yeah. What did you mean by that?
Well, what I mean by that is it's a good opportunity for Bill Belichick. One, because he's damn Bill Belichick. He can do what the hell he wants to do. Like, we sit up here and Nico's talking about who running upstairs first and the fact that Cam Newton don't warm up. None of that junk matters. What matters is who Bill Belichick thinks gives this team the best opportunity to win. And I didn't go to practice, right? I'm not a Patriot. I don't have one of those red coats that you get when your name goes up in the Ring of Honor and all that stuff. Tom Brady ain't throw me touchdowns. I didn't get sacks. And so I don't have that inside look. All I know is what I see in the game. And when you watch the game, you see that Cam Newton is very capable of running this offense, and so is Mac Jones. And so this allows Bill Belichick to make the best decision for his team. The one thing I know is this. If you go to Mac Jones early, it's hard to go away from him if he doesn't play well. That's not the same thing with Cam Newton. Cam Newton has shown that he can do this. Cam Newton has shown leadership. If I'm Bill Belichick, I start Cam Newton knowing that I have a very dependable, as Sacho says, and I guess available, as Dan Graziano says, Mac Jones behind Cam Newton.
Not a bad decision to make, right? You got a solid veteran there. You got a rookie who's performing. We've got a lot more to talk about on this topic in the next hour, so we'll stay with this. But for now, let's go on the clock. 30 seconds for everybody. Let's put it up there. Nink, we'll start with you. Will the Patriots win a playoff game this season?
Yes, the Patriots will win a playoffs game this season, and it starts with the defense. When I look at this defense, bringing in Kyle Van Noy, Hightower's back, Judon, the secondary. I just think that when you look at the roster itself, the way that they're built defensively, they are going to be a top five defense. It's all hypothetical right now, but on paper, they look great. I think they're going to go out there and perform. With that defense, it will get them into the playoffs and win a playoff game.
Okay, Graz, on to you. Will Tua lose his starting job this season?
I'm going to say no. I think Tua Tagovailoa gets the year to prove what he can do in Miami. They had their ear to the ground this offseason about other quarterback possibilities. Should the Deshaun Watson trade become a possibility again, I expect they'll be involved. But I don't think it's going to happen this year. And I think as a result of that, Tua, who was the fifth pick in the draft last year, will get this season to show what he can do. Next offseason, depending on how that goes, the Dolphins may have other plans in mind.
Very interesting. Gets this season. We'll see about next season. Sacho, will the Bills return to the AFC Championship game?
I don't believe they will. There are a lot of new contenders. Not even new contenders, but contenders that were down last year that I believe are up this year. Baltimore Ravens are up this year. I think the Tennessee Titans are also up this year. You think about the Pittsburgh Steelers with a healthy Ben Roethlisberger and Najee Harris are back up this year. You could talk about Cleveland if you'd like. You could talk about all these different teams in the AFC that obviously we all think that Kansas City is going to be there, but there are so many other teams that could be there. So I'm going to say no, the Buffalo Bills will not be back in the AFC Championship game this year.
Okay, and RC, this guy has a lot of opportunity, but will Zach Wilson be the best of the rookie quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think so. Listen, when you watch Zach Wilson in the preseason, he's not really doing all the things that we loved about him. What we loved was throwing off platform, running to his left, throwing to his right. I mean, the dude was so good at this, they just schemed it into his pro day. But he's been poised. He's taken what the defense has given him. And after a week of practicing against the Green Bay Packers, he came out and he shredded them in what's a dress rehearsal for these teams in the second preseason game. Zach Wilson looks the part. Now, if he sucks during the regular season, when the lights come on, then it ain't my fault because all I'm doing is watching film.
Love that answer. Love that answer. Spoken like a true analyst.
Hey, well, that's how you up. Hedge.
Which team poses the biggest threat to Tampa Bay Tom's repeat chances? We have an answer to that that might shock you. Plus, the Cage Tiger has been released. Is Dak healthy enough to make Dallas a title contender? That and a lot more coming up on Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Get Up is brought to you by USAA Insurance. Find out what some of your favorite athletes are like off the field in USAA's Home Base series, now available on ESPN YouTube. And we welcome you back with a little buy or sell. This one's from our friends at ESPN.com. Asha, I'll start with you. Joe Burrow is going to lead the NFL in being worried about. Buy or sell?
And being worried about, I would say sell. I think the Bengals don't have a big enough platform of a team for everyone to be worried about Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is a phenomenal quarterback. Like, if you go back and watch his tape from this year, go back and watch his Heisman year, he's a beast of a quarterback. But the Bengals, when it comes to the platform of the entire NFL, they're in the bottom echelon.
Ninko, Sean Payton will cement himself as a quarterback whisperer. Buy or sell?
I'm buying that. Sean Payton's very, very smart. He understands how to coach at a high level for a very long time. Yes, he had Drew Brees as his quarterback for since 2006, but I think he's going to cement himself as the quarterback whisperer. He's a great coach, very smart.
Absolutely. RC, the Buccaneers will not win the Super Bowl. Buy or sell?
I'm going to sell this, and this doesn't mean that they won't win the Super Bowl. I mean, that they will win the Super Bowl, but now we're sitting up here talking about this team because they bring everyone back. Like, saying they won't be the last team standing is like they're going to suck. And you know what, Acho? If I played for Texas and I watched what Joe Burrow did to Texas as well, I wouldn't be a guy that wanted the world worried about Joe Burrow, but we are. We are worried. They should have protected him. So, Sam Acho, you got to go somewhere else with all that. Spoken like a true Texas hater, because we came to Texas, drunk y'all Gatorade, and beat that tail.
Hey, I got to show you some love, because y'all didn't just beat us. Y'all beat everybody. But what was the last time y'all did that?
19?
Okay.
19?
Before that.
That's why y'all coming to the SEC. Ooh, we want to go play with those guys.
God,
they have guys. You can't win this one now. This is what I do.
Now, he's been waiting for this. I got something for you, RC. Just wait.
Yeah. Take this fight to Twitter. Let's keep on with this. Caesars Sportsbook has the Bucs the second favorite to win it all this year at plus 650. The favorite is Kansas City at 5-1. No team has gone back-to-back since the Patriots did it in 2003-2004. And look, guys, this is a tough discussion to have because it's hard to repeat. And Graz, I ask you, what is Tampa's biggest obstacle to repeating, other than injury? We can always say injury, but other than injury.
But, I mean, you can't just say other than injury, because Tampa Bay was one of the least injured and luckiest teams last year in terms of injuries, and that is a hard thing to repeat year over year. The obstacles in the way of a repeat Super Bowl champion are numerous, and no one knows this better than Tom Brady, who has won the Super Bowl 7 times and repeated once. So, yeah, I think there are a number of things that can go wrong. But I look at the injuries and I think to myself, can they count on the same kind of luck they had last year? I think the answer is no. Plus, I mean, look, the schedule is not super easy, right? I mean, they got to play the Rams. They got to play Washington. You know, they got to play the Bills. I just think so much has to go right for you to win the Super Bowl. To expect that to happen 2 years in a row is way too much. And the last 16 years have proven that.
Sacho, other than injury, what's their biggest obstacle?
Well, two things. Like, if anyone could do it, Tom Brady could do it, right? No one had won a Super Bowl at home, and Tom Brady won a Super Bowl at home. The last person to repeat was Tom Brady. And so if anyone could do it, Tom Brady could do it. But the one thing, the one obstacle that could get in the way, the one team that can get in the way of Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is the Washington football team. And the reason why is that they did it last year with a fourth string quarterback. The Washington football team made the playoffs last year. Taylor Heineke came in, and Tampa Bay admittedly struggled. Like, I was at a wedding with, I played with Tampa Bay a couple years ago. I was at a wedding with some of the guys, and the outside linebacker coach Larry Foote was cracking jokes on the guys because they couldn't tackle Taylor Heineke. And so that's number one. And number two, if there are any questions, which there aren't many, But if there are any questions about Tampa Bay's team, it would be up front at offensive line. Maybe some questions at guard, maybe some questions at right tackle. There are no questions up front with the Washington football team. Four first-round picks, four dogs up front, four beasts that can expose anybody. They were the number two defense last year. I think they'll do it again.
So, Nico, what is the biggest obstacle for you?
Injuries, come on now.
You said you got
other than injuries.
Let's go.
Other than injuries.
All right, no. Listen, injuries. And I don't care that you said exclude injuries, because injuries are the only reason that would prevent them. And I will go back to 2012. It was a Wednesday practice. I think it was week 8 in 2012. And someone stepped on Tom's foot. And he went off to the side and was with the trainers and sitting on the bench. And they were looking at his foot, and I remember looking over there like, oh, no, that's our season. There's our season. It's going to go like that. So if you lose Tom, it's over, right? So at any point, look at Kansas City last year. If they didn't lose their offensive line, they might have been more competitive. So injuries have the biggest effect on your chances to win a Super Bowl.
RC, I'm just going to ask you, are you willing to take the bite on this? Other than injury, what's the obstacle?
Well, I think it's going to be the Los Angeles Rams. And, you know, I understand what Acho is saying about the Washington football team, and you look at what they can do up front. We also saw the adjustments that Bruce Arians, an offensive coordinator, Byron Leftwich, can make when you play a team like that. I remember Chase Young was running through the regular season, and we were so excited to see Chase Young versus Tom Brady, and he never sniffed them. Why? Because they went to 12 personnel, because they went to the play action game. And so you could see some of those changes and adjustments being made if they need to protect Tom Brady. But I think the one thing you need, and you mentioned Taylor Heinicke, and we talked about the fact that even with the fourth string quarterback, they were there. I think Taylor Heinicke is a little better than that, but you don't beat Tom Brady with that dude. You can beat him with the Matthew Stafford. And Matthew Stafford is starting to talk about he wants to play in big games. He wants to beat big teams and good teams late in football games. He wants to make championship-level plays. Well, that's why Sean McVay brought him there. And Sean McVay says, if they don't win, and this is not Matt Stafford, this is about my favorite player, Aaron Donald. If they don't win a Super Bowl with Aaron Donald, that's his fault. You went out, you got Matt Stafford because you thought it was Jared Goff. You go out, you get Sony Michel because you need a running back. This is the year. It's going to be now or never for the Los Angeles Rams. I think they know that. I think they'll play that way.
Okay, and you know, the Tampa still plays like it's now or never, but let's go to this for a second. Time to get your eyes checked, brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. And I mentioned Tampa because our friend Sal Pal posted this gem on his IG account. Sal's a subscriber to AARP Magazine, and look who is featured in this latest edition, Tom Terrific. Ninko, what do you think about your friend starring in AARP Magazine?
Oh, man. I don't even know what that is. What's that magazine?
The Brady Munch. This is how you eat if you're an octogenarian. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is, honestly. I don't know. Tom can be in any magazine he wants to be in, but I don't know what that is. You have to be older for that magazine? I don't know.
I'm going to tell you what I know that Nico didn't mention. Everybody always sees Tom Brady's combine picture. Do you remember that picture when Tom Brady's out there and he's built like a crab cake that's been messed up? Look at how this man is built now. That's the way you eat. That's TB12. That's why Tampa are Super Bowl favorites.
Hey, and he gives us hope. He gives all of us hope.
Yes, he does. Well, coming up, Dak Prescott giving Cowboys fans hope. He's off the pitch count. So are the Cowboys now a real contender? One of our experts says it's not all about Dak, and we'll talk all about that.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Road, on the mountain, over the hills and down.
Let's get to the Cowboys and Dak Prescott back with you on Get Up. And Prescott ran through team drills this week, something he hadn't done since July 27th, yesterday on First Take. Our guy Acho interviewed Deion Sanders and asked him about his expectation for the Cowboys. And take a listen to what Deion had to say.
That division is garbage. That division is horrible. So if you win the division, what you going to win after that? A trip to get beat down? What is that? It's only about three or four or five teams that can really win it all. They're not one of those teams, but you never know what could happen because of what Tom Brady did with Tampa Bay last year. Tom Brady gave everybody hope, man. He really did. He made everyone believe, hey, man, you can do this. But hey, everybody don't have a Tom Brady.
So he's saying it's more about Tom Brady, and I get that part. But, Graz, I want to start with you because I'm wondering what you're hearing. You have your ear to the ground in the league. What you're hearing from around the league and on this team about what is even more important than Dak? What is even more of a reason to be bullish on this team?
I don't think there's anything more important than Dak, but there are other reasons that the Cowboys feel good about their chances this year. And, you know, it's stuff that hasn't been focused on. I mean, we've heard reports about Ezekiel Elliott. They are extremely high on Ezekiel Elliott's conditioning and motivation as they go into this season. They feel like the offensive line is healthier than it's been in years. Tyron Smith, their left tackle, had some stuff done this offseason that addressed some long-standing problems. He's still only 30 years old, by the way. He's going into his 10th year in the league. So they have CeeDee Lamb, who was their first-round pick from last year, who they think can ascend to be their number one wide receiver this year. He's been that good. And the defense obviously was a disaster last year. Micah Parsons, this year's first-round pick, the linebacker, has been so exceptional for them this offseason that they're actually sort of designing and building their defense around him a little bit. So there's hope for improvement there. To Coach Sanders' point, I want to be respectful. To Coach Sanders' point, yes, the NFC East is very much down, and it always is, but that could result, if the Cowboys are much better than the rest of the division, in a really good record and a higher seed that could put them in a better playoff position than maybe, you know, the Rams out of a tough division.
Wow, could you imagine? That's interesting. Better than the Rams, you
Well,
think.
Just because they could end up with a better record if they're playing inferior
True.
Competition,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's a theory.
All right, and so, guys, I ask you, RC, I start with you. What needs to happen with this Cowboys team? Because Coach Deion is saying, hey, four or five teams in the conversations, Cowboys aren't one of them. What needs to happen for the Cowboys to get back in the Super Bowl conversation this year?
I mean, the one thing Deion didn't do was lie. I've played on certain teams that when you go to training camp, you don't think that you have an opportunity to win the Super Bowl. And everybody comes in and you try to be excited and you try to say anything can happen. But that's not always a reality. That's not necessarily where the Cowboys are to me. The Cowboys need to stay healthy up front. The Cowboys need to keep Dak Prescott clean. Kellen Moore needs to understand how this offense needs to run. And I'm not saying that it needs to run through Zeke, but it needs to be run first. And here's why. Dan Quinn is trying to implement a defense that can at least stop somebody, that can at least stop the floods, right? Can stop the hurricanes, can stop the damage that is done when you are letting folks run through you. But you can also do that by running the football. You can also do that by controlling the clock. And when you do have CeeDee Lambs and Amari Coopers and Gallups and you have those guys on the offense, you know you can explode at any time. So it's about protection. It's about smart schematic play offensively. And it's about execution. And Dak Prescott and Kellen Moore are going to be a huge part of that.
And so, Ninko, given where they are and given what you see of this team and given some of the concern over Dak's shoulder, can they get back in this Super Bowl conversation?
It all depends on their defense. In 2016, they were the fifth-ranked defense. That's the last time. 2016, 2018, the last two times they made the playoffs. 2016, they were fifth-ranked. 2018, they were sixth-ranked. They're going to have to be a much better defense to help out that offense. And running game, they're going to have to run the football. So you can't just put everything on Dak, especially now that he hasn't had training camp. He hasn't been out there practicing. He's going to have to get these reps quickly once he starts week one. So defense is number one. If they don't get their defense, they're not going to be a playoff team. Not at all.
Wow. I mean, it really comes down to that. But when you think about it, anywhere better than last year is
for sure, is
a huge improvement. All right, guys. RC, it's your time now. Explain your tweets. And this one I really love. Let's start with this one. Okay, you ready?
Bruh. I'm ready, Todd.
What a throw and catch. That's what Taysom can't do. That part is undeniable. If Sean Payton can coach away half the turnovers, the Saints have a guy. Explain, sir.
Listen, my homeboy Nico told you earlier, this is the year that Sean Payton cements himself as the quarterback guru. And this was the throw I was talking about to Callaway. This is something the Saints haven't seen. They haven't seen this in 3 or 4 years. Let's think back to last year. Emmanuel Sanders is wide open. Taysom Hill's at quarterback, and he punched the football to him. Drew Brees couldn't push the football down the field at all. Jameis Winston, he throws it to double coverage. You're going to be like, no, but that's what you need. You need a quarterback that's willing to take the chances, and then taking the chances has the arm strength to do that. And this is what Jameis showed. Now we can go let Taysom Hill go do Taysom Hill things that he does so much better than quarterbacking. This is what Sean Payton needs to happen. Coach away those turnovers. You got you a guy.
All right, here's another tweet from you. And my favorites from you are the ones I have no idea what you're talking about. This is about Lamar Jackson. I'm confusion.
Well, so I was on this show, and this has now become a GIF or a GIF. I'm still confusion on what that is. Jeremy Fowler is sitting there in his nice lime green coat, and he goes, this is the year that I've talked to people, and they say they may have Lamar Jackson figured out. I don't know if y'all watched the film. It's not like people aren't standing there waiting on Lamar Jackson. They know the dang play. It's not like they've been super creative. They stand in there, and they can't touch him. Do you know what it's like to be able to smell a man's breath and not get a hand on him? It is upsetting. It is hurtful. It is something that makes you feel like you actually don't belong on the field. You can't figure that out because your mother and your daddy didn't give you the requisite skill to do so.
I could definitely say Dan and I don't know what it's like to smell another man's breath and not get to him. But you got one more here. For 2 years, I said the gap between Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields wasn't what everyone was making it out to be. Whether Get Up, First Take, NFL Live, I screamed it like Stephen A. Smith and folks pooped on it. Maybe be too early to say I was right, but I was right.
You know what? Everybody been pooping on me. For 2 years, y'all been pooping on the Justin Fields party. But I am here to say, more meatloaf, Mom, because it's showing. And they're going to be like, oh, well, it's only 2 games. But wait, 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 wait. That's a lie. Coming out of high school, 1A, 1B on the top ESPN 300. Then you get to college. The only difference between these dudes is that Dabo Sweeney was smart enough to put Trevor Lawrence on the team and make him the starting quarterback over Kelly Bryant, and that Kirby Smart was not smart enough to put Justin Fields over Jake Fromm. When we watch these dudes in college, you could see the talent, and it's only 2 games, but when you're watching Trevor Lawrence compared to Justin Fields, I don't sit up there and go, wow, look at this transcendent talent, and look at this dude who belonged to be 11. That's not the way it worked. It's closer than folks think. This whole draft is closer than folks think, and I don't necessarily know if Trevor Lawrence ends up being a star or Justin Fields ends up being a star, but I know it won't be because Trevor Lawrence is way more talented.
Okay. All right. So let's bring everybody back in. And Graz, I start with you on this one because, look, Trevor Lawrence is in a rough situation. Justin Fields isn't in a great one, but maybe it's a little bit better. If they switch teams, do you think that Lawrence would be better positioned for long-term success in the NFL?
That's a good question. I don't think long-term we can really know. I think maybe short-term, because I think the Bears have a better defense this year than Jacksonville. But long-term, I think there are legitimate questions about both coaching situations, right? I mean, we don't know the security of the coaching staff in Chicago. They could be on thin ice, hot seat, whatever you want to call it. So we don't know how that plays out for Justin Fields next year and beyond. And then in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence, you know, Urban Meyer, a legitimately outstanding all-time great college coach, who's won everywhere he's been, but we've seen great college coaches not have success in the NFL. So how is that going to play out long-term? I think there's a lot of mystery about both, and that gets to the issue of, as great as these guys may be, situation matters at least that much.
RC, I know you're a huge Fields fan, but who do you think has the better careers? And is it more based on the teams than the talent?
I think it's definitely based on the teams. It's based on what you surround him with, what type of coaching that you have. And also, it's about health, right? A guy like Justin Fields, who's going to be behind an offensive line that necessarily might not be great and have him running around, puts him in harm's way. I understand that. But also, Trevor Lawrence is playing behind the same type of offensive line. Justin Fields is positioned better right now. How he's coached, how he's used, I think could put him ahead of Trevor Lawrence. And when you feel the way I do about the talent level of these guys, guys being so closely matched, I think this bodes well for Justin Fields. I got to watch both of these young men at 18 years old. I was coaching at the Nike opening, and Justin Fields was my 7-on-7 quarterback. Trevor Lawrence was the quarterback of another team. And I'm not going to lie, I had to dig very deep into my defensive coordinator hat in order to stop Trevor Lawrence, in order to put defenses together that we could pick off footballs, that we could win the game. But Justin Fields was the best I'd ever seen a quarterback be. And I'm talking about Tom Brady. I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers. I think in 3 days, maybe two footballs hit the ground. And that's why I felt this way since that point. I think Justin Fields has an opportunity to be the best quarterback in this class and have the best career. I'm that sure about his talent level.
Wow. And Ninko, the other question about both these guys becomes the ability to protect them, to keep them safe with offensive lines that, look, we all acknowledge they're not that great. So how do you do that? And I ask you this within the context of, look, you've played on, everybody knows you as a former Patriot, but you've played on some bad teams and you've seen what it's like
not
to have to play on a bad team. So Ninko, tell us how it is. How do you keep these guys safe and keep their confidence intact?
Oh, yeah, RC, listen, I was 10-15 in 2007, all right? But I didn't play now. I didn't play, okay? I used to go up to the office and say, hey, Cam Cameron used to be in his office. I say, coach, how can I get in? I want to help the team win it. He'd sit there, hey, listen, we got our guys out there on the field we think are helping us win. And I'd go, we're 0-10. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, when you have a young player, or any football player, any RC, you know this. Sam, you know this. Your mentality and your confidence really goes a long way. So if you are in a situation where you're getting beat down, you're getting beat up, and you can't go out there and perform at a high level, it affects your mental capabilities. So I think Justin Fields, you know, he's in a great spot. Both these guys, you got to really watch out. I watched the Jacksonville Jaguars play their last preseason game. It was terrible. It was bad all across the board. So I think that the Jaguars have a long way to go. It's going to be tough for them as a rookie.
Really tough. And we'll see what they do to keep their confidence intact, because that's going to be key. These are both players. They want to be good long term, not just for right now. Now, speaking about being good long term, the Giants are really seeking that. Saquon Barkley finally returned to practice yesterday. Is he strong enough to carry Big Blue to the playoffs, or are we heading for a Giant reset? And time for a little sneaky hembo, shall we? Dan Graziano, are you ready for this? Which NFL team owns the record for the most consecutive 10-loss seasons? I feel like Dan already knows it. He's got that quiet smirk on his face, like, that was easy. We'll see if it was after this.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Okay, so back with a little sneaky hembo time. Dan Graziano, which NFL team owns the record for the most consecutive 10-loss seasons?
Yeah, a lot of good guesses flying around the studio in the break, right? Like, so I thought he wanted me to say Jacksonville. I feel like that's the obvious. I'm not going to go with it. I think the team that has the record for the most consecutive losing seasons is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so I'm going to guess them.
Okay, and you are right. He is right. And let me tell you, full disclosure to everybody out there, Dan is right. During the break, everybody in the studio is playing, yelling out answers.
Giants, Browns.
I'm trying to distract them, being like, hey, when are we going to use this set ever again? Yeah. So Dan doesn't get the answer. But he got it anyway. He's his own man.
Double-digit lead.
Double-digit. Hembo, man. Up your game, bro. Up your game. All right, speaking of upping your game, after a subpar practice this week, the Giants welcome back Saquon Barkley to practice, taking part in live drills. Now, quarterback Daniel Jones also participated and is set to start in the Giants preseason finale. Yesterday on Get Up, Lewis Riddick weighed in on the Giants' expectation. Take a listen.
what else do I need to do here in order to get us back to where the New York Giants are supposed to be, which is being a contending franchise, knocking on the door of Super Bowls. Not, are we okay? Are we in contention to win the East? Knocking on the door of Super Bowl titles is what they are accustomed to. And I think as this year plays itself out, and it's not just on Daniel Jones, if that's not where they are trending towards, he will be resetting this place once again.
Whew, full reset. And by the way, our own Rob Ninkovich took a little time to catch up with Joe Judge. Entering his second season as the Giants head coach, Judge, remember, was the Patriots assistant from 2012 to 19. Ninko, what were you guys talking about? A little advice on how to not reset?
No, I said, Coach, you know I can snap still, right? Just in case. Your guy goes down. Hey, listen, snapping is like riding a bike. I've been doing it since I was a kid, so I could go do that easy. I'm only 37 right now. I'm spring chicken. Come on, baby. You know I can go snap.
You're not even an ARP yet. You could do it.
Now he's pitching every team.
I don't even know what that magazine is. Come on now. I'm still in my 30s.
You're not eating avocado ice cream. Are you eating avocado ice cream like Tom? No, that's the difference.
So, Ninko, seriously, though, you know Judge, you know this team. Is this a make-or-break season for Daniel Jones, the Giants, and that entire regime?
I would say Daniel Jones more than the regime. Listen, in his position right now, he has to go out there and solidify himself as the guy for the quarterback position. Because if not, I think that staff, you know, they get another opportunity, another year at maybe drafting, getting another guy or bringing in another quarterback in that spot. They have to be better, obviously, across the board. Offensive line, protecting the quarterback, running the football. We know last year was kind of a lost season, losing your running back, your big-time running back. So, you know, I think Joe Judge, obviously, he has the makeup to be a great coach and to get that team where they need to be, but it starts with the quarterback. So the quarterback this year especially, it's going to be a huge test to see if he can be the guy moving forward.
Graz, Chris Canty was on the show yesterday, and he mentioned that this Giants team has several consecutive double-digit losing seasons. Yeah. And it just blew my mind when I think about how I grew up as an Eagles fan and seeing the Giants as this great storied franchise. How has these Giants struggles impacted this ownership that wants to get back to that place?
Yeah, I mean, John Mara has talked publicly about how he remembers when he was young and the Giants were terrible and irrelevant and how that weighed on his father, his late father, who was the owner of the team, and how he never wanted to preside over anything like that. And I think he feels like he kind of is. And I know that bothers him a great deal. You know, you've seen him change coaches several times since Tom Coughlin. I know they believe in Joe Judge and they like him a lot. I don't think he's in any significant peril at the end of this year. But it could be that Dave Gettleman, the GM, is on a hot seat. It's certainly Daniel Jones, if he doesn't show something this year, going into his fourth year next year, could be on the hot seat. So they're eager to get it turned around. And if they don't, you know, they've shown they could make changes.
Yeah, Sacho, I know you know Mara personally. Give us what you think are his thoughts coming into the season and the pressure on the team this year.
Yeah, well, even before I go there, because we made a point about, you know, Daniel Jones has to prove that he's the guy.
Right.
But we all watched the games last year and we saw that he didn't have the line. He didn't have the running back. He didn't have any weapons offensively and no protection. And so I think it's a little bit too early to say that the pressure is on Daniel Jones to perform, number one. But number two, yes, so I serve on the NFLPA executive committee. So I've been in meetings with Mara. I've talked with him time and time again. And you could tell he takes a pride about his team and how he does things. And of course he wants to win, which a lot of people don't understand. Not every owner's focus is on winning. Some owners' focus is on keeping that bottom line in the not red. And so I think that John Mara is going to do whatever it takes to get that program back to a winning culture. It may take a different GM. It may take a change of coaching, but I think they're going to keep that quarterback.
RC, what do you need to see if Daniel Jones, who is the talk of all of this, is the right guy in New York?
Well, obviously, when you play that position, it's about producing wins. Daniel Jones's play needs to end up in success for the team. Individually, he needs to get better. He needs to hold on to the ball. He needs to make plays in crucial moments. But the team around him has to give him opportunities to win football games. If that happens, he's the quarterback of the future. If it doesn't, they move on. And I think they even may move on from Dave Gettleman.
Here's a tough situation for this division. The tough situation is this is a division where Washington football team and Dallas are expected to be better than them, and it really feels like they got to make the playoffs in a weak NFC East. or that regime may be out.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they work that out, but it's going to be very interesting to see how it all plays out. Now, I want to move on to this because the Little League World Series was on fire yesterday. We'll start you with Texas versus Michigan, an elimination game. Winner moves on to play Hawaii in the Hank Aaron championship bracket. Third inning, Michigan up 6-0. Pinch hitter Kalie Harris with the single up the middle. His mom is fired up. Harris with his first Little League World Series hit. Look at that smile. Still in the third inning, up 9-0. Cameron Thorning with the bomb to right field. Two-run homer. Michigan scoring 8 in the third. And then we take you to the fifth. They're up 11-6. Bases loaded. Jason Sherma lines one to left field. Base hit. Two runs coming to score. Michigan gets 4 in the fifth inning. High fives all around. Flex it. Sherma, 3 doubles, 3 RBIs. Michigan wins it 15-6. Now, over to Ohio looking for revenge after losing to California 9-0 on Sunday. They take each other on an elimination game. Fourth inning, California up 2-1. Andrew Nurucki hits that one hard to the ground, but Gage Maggard, the diving play, just watches again. It's a thing of beauty. Gage Maggard laying out, the focus, the concentration, flipping it to second, getting the out, and Ohio gets out of the inning. Beautiful. Fifth inning, up 3-2, and Noah Davidson lines it to left. Chance Rutherford comes in to score. Davidson with the insurance run, Ohio up 4-2. Last chance for California. Gibson Turner, the hit to deep center, but Crew Brown, plenty of room. He makes the catch for the final out. The celebration begins. Ohio advances in the Tom Seaver bracket. They hold on to beat California 4-2. And tomorrow on ABC, we're down to the final four teams at the Little League World Series in Williamsport. Ohio and Gavin Weir facing South Dakota at 12:30 Eastern. And then at 3:30, Michigan squaring off against Hawaii. Both games are also streaming live on the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Coming up, Cam is back, but Mac, he's surging. Who has the edge in the Patriots quarterback battle? One of our analysts was at practice this week, and you need to hear what he saw. That's coming up next on Get Up.